Okay, you can proceed, Mr. Pleats.
Okay, Your Honor, now this the Equifax case, which I know we've talked a little bit about, sort of adds a different twist, but it's still, from our position, the same. And I think to understand what we're saying here, you have to understand, and if you look at an Equifax file disclosure, the question is, can you just sort of looking at that find the date of delinquency? We, in this case, couldn't determine which field had the date of delinquency. We didn't think it was there until we got discovery that said, oh, by the way, yes, the date of delinquency, that's in the date of last activity field. So the question was, if, and we knew also that the date of delinquency comes into Equifax, again, from this Metro 2, which is the computer format that they use to deliver the information. And in field 25 of that, again, it's called very clearly FCRA compliance date of first delinquency. But then it comes into Equifax, and somehow once it gets to Equifax, it's then labeled date of last activity.
Well, then I get back again that we've been going on. Why would they care and change the term?
Your Honor, I think the answer to that question is they simply haven't updated their file disclosures.
Used to be called date of last activity?
They used to use the date of last activity, which Congress found was too ambiguous. The question is, what is it? When, you know, if a consumer gets that and says, okay, all right, now this is coming off 7.5 years from the date of last activity, then they go to their credit file, and I'm assuming they're keeping their records for 7.5 years. Can they figure out what that date is? What date is it? It could be the date of last payment. It could be the date it was sold to a credit buyer. It could have been the date a credit buyer made a dispute.
I understand that. I mean, I agree. Day of last activity is certainly not as clear as date of delinquency.
Yes, and what it does, I think, is it sort of puts the control over the date in the hands of the creditor, meaning they can sort of, knowing that this is the way it's disclosed to the consumer, they have some leeway to come up with a different date, and then they can justify it as, well, that's the date of last activity. But the point of the 96 amendments was this is a date certain. I mean, this is a known date that is easily verifiable, and that's sort of why the amendments were made. And so, and again, I think what happened was they simply didn't bring their file disclosures into compliance with the 96 amendments because we've put in the record, I believe it's in the joint, the short appendix, some of these pre-96 letters, staff opinion letters to the FTC where they say, no, date of last activity is not right. You shouldn't be using it. And again, why didn't they update it? I mean, again, I speculating like I did earlier, I just think it helps major clients of theirs who are debt collectors to gives them sort of leeway and control over what the date is when the information comes off. So how does this fit in, though, with the file disclosure provision? You know, it just doesn't say you can disclose all information, but you have to do it clearly and accurately. So really the question that this case presents is it clear and accurate if you disclose that a date which you know is the FCRA compliance date of first delinquency, is it clear and accurate to disclose that with that knowledge?
Well, I think it's accurate, right? Because it's the same day. It's the date of delinquency, isn't it?
Well, no, it depends how you define accuracy. I would define accuracy with reference to, number one, the information that was provided. I mean, it's not accurate if what was provided was was labeled date of delinquency and you change it. That's not accurate.
No, I thought that was a clarity point. I would think accuracy would mean you're not in fact disclosing the date of delinquency. If you call it something else, that can be extremely confusing and unclear. But if it's the same date, so my question is date of last activity as used by Equifax always the same date as the date of delinquency? Have they just renamed it?
I used
the old name.
It would be, yes.
So you're complaining about their failure to update the name, right? Failure to call it.
It's illuminating. Yeah, and I would define accuracy looking at the TILA case.
It doesn't matter, right? It has to be clear and accurate.
Yes.
You're saying it's unclear whether it's accurate or not. Doesn't
yes. matter. I mean, and I think it's unclear. I think it's unclear because it could be a number of different dates. That it's sort of opaque and ambiguous when they know that it's one date. And so I guess the point here, though, is why is that language there clearly and accurately? Why did Congress put that in there? You know, what was the purpose? And, you know, I think the purpose is, you know, in TILA they say it's sort of the informed use of the credit agreement, knowledge of the credit agreement. Here, Congress, I think, was concerned about the informed use of a credit file. The file disclosure not only has to disclose everything, but has to do it in a way that informs the consumer of what they need to do and what they need to know to identify inaccuracies and then to correct it, because you see all the other things that have to go into a credit file as far as the summary notices and how to do a reinvestigation and things like that. So I think what they were getting at was, you know, if you put something like the date, if you put information in there, you sort of have to describe it in a way that the reasonable consumer would understand it. And let's face it here, there's an easy way to do it. You know, simply put a field in saying, you know, date of first delinquency. In fact, when we looked at their credit file, we thought, well, there's a field that says, I can't remember exactly, date of first delinquency or something very close to that. And I said, well, but that field was blank. Well, we find out in discovery that that's not it. It's not that that's not the date of delinquency. That's some other date. So that's even further confusing. I mean, we thought since that field was blank and we never saw it filled in that, you know, they simply weren't reporting the date of delinquency, but we find out it's in this different field. So it's a sort of a game of hide the ball, which I don't think it's supposed to be under the Act. And I guess the other final point I make is, you know, I think there's supposed to be a common language as to what these terms are within the industry between creditors and the credit bureaus and consumers. And there is no such date as the date of last activity in that vernacular. You look at Metro 2, there's no date of last activity there. So, again, if you get back and look at in terms of how does a consumer correct his file, you know, in dealing with a creditor or dealing with a credit bureau, how do they correct the date of last activity that doesn't exist?
Well, when they say here that the accounts not paid as agreed remain for 7 years,
yes,
and then later, quote, the time periods listed above are measured from the date of your credit file shown in the date of last activity field, accompanying the particular credit or collection right. account.
Yes.
Why doesn't that?
So
I mean, it's a lot of the stuff is clear as mud, anyhow. Why isn't this any clearer than anything else?
You know, as Equifax says, yes. You look, they can figure out when we're going to purge it. Isn't that enough? But that's not the point. The point is, what the statute's concerned about is when the period begins, not when it ends. And a consumer is going to be directed.
Well, wouldn't you be more concerned about when it ends rather than when it begins?
No, because when it begins, it begins on the date of delinquency. That's what triggers everything. That's how you know when it ends. So if really you want to be concerned about an accurate credit file, you need to know when, in truth, under the standards of the FCRA, when it begins. But if you're told here that it begins on the date of last activity, it says there, okay, this 7.5 years is measured from the date of last activity. What would the reasonable consumer do? He would go, assuming he has his credit file, okay, let me figure out here in all these papers what the date of last activity is so I can verify if that endpoint is right. Where is it found? I don't see how they could determine that. And, I think that was – there's some confusion here by these two plaintiffs. You know, Ms. Gillespie said, well, you know, if a date of delinquency doesn't move, but the date of last activity is always moving. I mean, that was her reaction. That's – the question is, is it clear and accurate? And I think under an objective standard that it's not clear and accurate. So I'll sit down and –
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pleats. Pardon?
Pleats.
Pleats. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm misreading. My mistake. Ms. McCray?
May it please the Court, I'm Mara McCray for Equifax Information Services. Mr. Pleats points out that if a consumer looks for the date of first delinquency on their Equifax disclosure, they will not find a date labeled as such. But it is undisputed that the only significance to that date to a consumer is that it triggers the running of the obsolescence period. And if they examine their disclosure...
Why don't you change it to the current?
Well, Your Honor, the
date
term...
Date of delinquency means a lot more to me than date of last activity.
Well, Judge, there's no indication in this record that it meant more to these plaintiffs than date of last activity.
No, my question to you, why don't you change it?
This is not in the record. Mr. Pleats said that it was an easy thing to do.
I remember hearing him saying it. It's difficult to change from date of last activity to date of delinquency.
It is difficult for Equifax to change the name of that field, Your Honor.
That's absurd.
That is my understanding, Your Honor.
You go into your computer and you, where it says date of last activity, you type in, you know, delinquency instead of last activity, right?
For 250 or so million files, Your Honor,
You have 250 million files? Are they digitized? They're not pieces of paper. They're in a database.
No, Your Honor. Right. They are in a computer.
Well, then you can change them all at once.
I'm told that is far more difficult than either I or the court might assume, and there is...
That's possible. But what about changing it for the future in your future forms?
I believe that change is now in effect, Your Honor, that this field that we're focusing on today now says date of first delinquency / date of last activity.
Now, wait a second. What does that mean?
Well, if they're looking for the term date of first delinquency, which, by the way, doesn't appear.
What are they supposed to do with date of last activity? I mean, it's, I don't get it. It's so confusing.
Your Honor, it's not confusing.
It's very confusing because, as Judge Kenney was saying, if you just think about the term, the date of delinquency is a date of inactivity, right? So I think Judge Kenney suggested one, or maybe it was Mr. Pleats suggested, a kind of natural interpretation, date of last activity, would be the last payment you made. But the date of delinquency is when you fail to make the next payment.
That is
correct.
There's
no activity. When you don't do something, there's no activity. There's inactivity.
This field is used both for good accounts where the date of last activity means exactly what you suggest, the date of last payment, and for accounts that become delinquent, in which case the date provided to Equifax under that date of delinquency column
is more frozen. And more, I mean, you're digging yourself, I think, into a deeper and deeper hole because the same word is used, you're saying, same term is used for two things which have completely different significance.
But the significance to these plaintiffs with delinquent accounts is very clearly spelled out in the Equifax disclosure. The seven-year period after which these accounts will no longer report begins to run on the date of last activity. That's crystal clear. And if the plaintiff wants to dispute, or the consumer wants to dispute, the obsolescence period, wants to say, oh, I think that should come off 2 years earlier, they know that we're using that date.
How do they know to contest when they don't know what date of last activity, what last activity means?
Well, if they knew what date of, if they know that this obsolescence period is to run from what the statute calls the date of commencement of delinquency, and we're telling them that we're running it from this date called date of last activity, one would assume that they would think they were the same thing.
Do you think they read the statute first and then they...
Well, Your Honor, if they don't...
Date of last delinquency?
If they're not...
I thought you said that what your form says is this: the obsolescence period runs from the date of last activity.
That's correct.
Now, if I got that form, I would say to myself, they say the date of last activity was, you know, 2000. How would I know whether that was correct, whether that was something I could challenge as incorrect, without knowing what last activity means?
If you don't, if the consumer doesn't know what it means and has reason to believe that it may not be accurate, they're certainly entitled to challenge it.
No. You can't know whether something is accurate if you don't know what it means, right? How
Correct.
Could you possibly know that, right?
Well, actually, Your Honor, the form doesn't say it runs from the date of last activity. It says it runs from the date contained in that field. So
Worse and worse, because you look at you're given a date, January 1st, 2000, and you're given an opportunity to contest the date. And you look at the field and it says date of last activity. You have no idea what last activity means. So how on earth do you contest that January 1st, 2000 was when your obsolescence period began?
Well, Your Honor, if your last payment was made in 1997 and you haven't made a payment on that account since then, it seems that you would know that there was no activity in 2000.
Well, but as Mr. Peace pointed out earlier, maybe... the account was sold. And maybe you think, well, that was activity, all right. I don't know when it was sold.
Well, there's nothing in this record to suggest that either of the plaintiffs here thought that.
Well, I have no idea. If I got this form, I would have no idea what last activity meant.
Fair enough, Your Honor. Nevertheless, this statute only requires that Equifax clearly and accurately disclose.
It's not clear. You haven't clearly told the consumer when his obsolescence period started to run.
We have clearly told the consumer what is contained in our file.
Look, you couldn't do your files in Chinese and say you were clearly disclosing the date of when the date of obsolescence was, right? But if you translate field of activity into Turkish. And you have a file in Turkish in the form, and you say, well, that's how we keep things. We have a lot of Turkish employees, so we decide to use Turkish language. And that's what's in our file. That's what you get.
If that is what was in the Equifax file that was provided to third parties, creditors, then I believe Equifax would be entitled to provide that to the consumer as well.
Well, maybe the creditors are Turkish, right? So,
Your Honor, the Metro 2 format to which Mr. Peets refers is not a part of the law, nor is it a part of, it's not required by the Federal Trade Commission. The term date of first delinquency does appear there, but this is a computer format put together by a trade association. It is true that it is uniform. The creditors report to Equifax in that field. So the notion that because we call it the date of last activity on our form, enables creditors to play fast and loose with that date more than if we called it something else is absurd. There's certainly no record in the evidence that...
Well, but didn't I understand you to say the date of last activity could be a positive thing in some credit reports?
Yes, Your Honor, but it's not in the particular types of accounts that these plaintiffs have.
Well, no, I'm just speaking in general, but if how can it be positive then? And that means you're up to date?
Yes. It's the date the last payment was received for a good account. For an account that goes bad, it's the date on which the first payment was missed.
Now why would Equifax use the same phrase for good accounts and bad accounts? One says, yeah, you're current, and the other one says you're delinquent.
Well, there's a great deal of other information in the disclosure and the consumer report that says whether it's a good account or a bad account. This is just one little segment.
I understand that, but we're focusing on this language here, and I don't understand why you can be a positive comment on one hand and a negative on the other hand, and, of course, you look at the other things in the credit report to say, well, yeah, okay, this is what it means.
So you have a mixture of good and bad accounts in the report, and as Judge Kane explained it, for the good accounts, and date of activity means one thing. For the bad accounts, means something else. This, of course, is not defined. How does the consumer make any sense of this? I mean, really preposterous.
Well, the only real significance of this to the consumer, Your Honor, is that it triggers the obsolescence period.
But the purpose of giving this information is, the main purpose is to enable the consumer to challenge. Right? If you say date of activity was November 28, 2006, the consumer is facing, you know, 7.5 lean years. So he'd like to be able to challenge that if it's a mistake. But if he doesn't know what date of activity, he doesn't know what last activity means, he doesn't know whether he can challenge it because he doesn't, right? That's your problem.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. McCrae. Do you have anything further, Mr. Pease?
Thank you.
One quick point. Fine.
All right. I wanted to address your question as to how hard would it be just to put this in. There's what they call this document called their frozen scans. It's sort of a picture of their internal file at a particular point in time. And right on there, they have a field marked date. I think it's date of first delinquency / date of last activity. So it seems to me you just create a file disclosure where you map that date into a field that says date of first delinquency. I don't understand the difficulty. Unless the court has any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pease and Mr. McGrath.